Hi everyone, this is Jack, and thanks for tuning in and downloading today's episode. As we embrace 2021, Monica and I just wanted to say thank you for all your continued support and great feedback. Please don't forget to sign up for our mastermind group at visualwow.com/mastermind. The content continues to grow. You can often catch live events as well as sign up for online portfolio reviews with either Monica or myself. Again, thanks for all your support, and now on with today's episode.
Next up on Visual Wow.
We've become a boutique outsourcing company that can pretty much handle any type of job function that can be performed remotely 100% of the time.
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to Visual Wow, the podcast for people passionate about live events. We're obsessed with creating and capturing those wow moments. This is the place the top pros come to share their secrets. Now, here's your host, Jack Hartzman.
Welcome back, Visual Community. I'm Jack Hartzman, your host, and very excited to bring Mark Zucker back to the program, CEO, founder of Zookbinders Incorporated, Chicago, Illinois, and co-founder of MCVO Talent Outsourcing. We spoke to him earlier this year about the same subjects. We're going to do a deep dive today into outsourcing. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jack.
Listen, you have been beating me over the head about this for years. You finally started making your way into my head when COVID hit, and that was nearly a year ago. And I jumped off the bridge with you, or into your pond, shall we say, and started using your outsourcing services in April, I think. And it has completely not only changed my production throughout COVID, but I am now about to restart my business, hopefully as the vaccines get out and the event world comes back. And MCVO seems to be not just part of my business now, but it looks like it's going to dramatically change my business in the future. I can't thank you enough for hitting me hard enough over the head to finally get through. It's been amazing for me. So, Mark, I know what you do for photographers. I know what your team has done for me personally. I will talk about that as we get more into the program today. But what do you do beyond photographers? What other parts of the community, the industries, whether it's photographic or related or otherwise, what exactly are you doing outside of the photographic world?
It's interesting to answer that. I got to tell you a little bit about our history. The outsourcing business started as a result of Zookbinders, our wedding album company, needing to cut costs in all departments. So Zookbinders ended up with overseas album designers, customer service reps, bookkeepers, programmers, virtual assistants, photo editors, video editors. It's really, we've become a boutique outsourcing company that can pretty much handle any type of job function that can be performed remotely 100% of the time. So bookkeeping is, you know, photo has kind of been our number one track because that's where we started. And we have a lot of photographers and other businesses related. But I look at it more, not so much in terms of industry, but in terms of position, like every company needs accounting and bookkeeping. That is a really big part of our business today.
So as the event industry starts to pull its head out of its shirt and wake up again, outside of the photographic industry, I know that one of the things that you offer is virtual assistants, along with things like bookkeeping that could really help, especially struggling businesses who don't have the money to bring in their big name talent that they've laid off over the last year, and they're in the next several months going to be starting their businesses up again. How do you explain that to someone to let go a little bit and try to take advantage of the resources that you offer in MCVO?
So what's interesting about virtual assistants, and that's a relatively, when we did our first podcast a few months ago, we were just getting started with it. I kind of lump into the virtual assistant bucket, customer service and telemarketing, because it really requires the same skill set. It's got to be somebody who is customer facing, who has a minimal Filipino English accent, and knows their way around and is confident talking to others, whether it's prospects, existing clients, or business owners. And what we're seeing is a lot of companies are restarting. Telemarketing has actually been really busy because for companies that are trying to reinvent themselves and pivot, they're buying lists, they're finding that they just need to call on a lot of people and they just don't have the bandwidth, or quite honestly, it gets exhausting. So we're getting a lot of help for that. And virtual assistants have been, just in general, become really popular as more and more executives and business owners are getting comfortable with, I'm working from home, I'm doing everything, and I really am, it's just not in my best interest to do everything. So they're figuring out what tasks can be delegated to somebody who's making $11 an hour instead of what their rate would be.
So one of the questions that we talked about last time, and one of the things that I think most American business owners think about when they hear the word offshore, long before they hear the word Philippines, is we're taking jobs away from Americans. And I'm going to answer the question for you so that I don't, A, have to ask you the same question I asked you several months ago, because I'm here to tell you that because of the talent that I'm now using from your team in the Philippines, a web designer and a production person in the photography side, not to mention a videographer, sorry, not videographer, video editing part of your business, I am able to do 2 and 3 times more with the same resources that I was doing before. Also, because of the time difference between us, which is typically 12 to 13 hours, depending on daylight savings time, I'm on the East Coast, I'm able to go through a business day and realize what I'm all about, what I need to get done by tomorrow, send it off to my team in the Philippines, wake up at 8 or 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, come to my desk, and everything is waiting for me. Now, not everything takes one day and gets done overnight, but I cannot even tell you what a pleasure it is to need a website page built or an edition done or a portfolio updated. I send an email to the person who's working on my website, and I have like 99% confidence that tomorrow morning, everything that I need done is going to be done. And I know we've been friends for a long time, but this goes far beyond friendship. It has dramatically and profoundly changed my business model. And for all those that are in the Visual Wow community, I implore you to really think about this as an option for you as we all start turning our machines on and getting back to business again.
So I read and I'm glad you've had a great experience with it so far. It's been fun to watch you. And I started reading an audiobook a few months ago called Who Not How, which is recommended for any entrepreneur. And it basically says, we as entrepreneurs, as we get into new things, however we define a new thing, a new market, we need a new technology, oftentimes our inclination is to figure out how to do it ourselves, make sure we understand it, and then teach others. This book says we're approaching it 100% backwards. It's saying, when you have a task, hire an expert, hire a who can do it for you, figure it out, because that's not where your value is to the company. And what you've experienced by having a web, you know, like for example, a website designer, you're a techie from way back when, and we're probably building websites before half the people even knew what a website was. But you've also realized that that is not the best use of your time, and hiring a website designer who designs websites all day long is probably going to be more up to speed on how to build it correctly anyway.
Well, and the fact that I actually do have a technical background, I so enjoy being able to talk at the same language with my team over there, because I understand what they're talking about and they appreciate the fact that we can talk that language. And also, but I realize I don't have to do that. They really are top-notch people, both on the photographic side and on the website. And the learning curve was literally a few days. It was not the weeks or months that I expected. I'll even give a shout out to the video team in the fact that I'm a risk taker. I'm a forward thinker. I try to please people or tell people they need something before they've realized it. And I'm willing to go out and shoot some video or have one of my other shooters shoot video over my shoulder for a project. And I can send some raw footage over to your people, and for under a couple of $100, I can get a 60-second montage or highlight clip to tease my client with something that they want to do. Where if I was keeping that in-house, that project not only would take 2 or 3 weeks, but it would cost me $600 or $700 or more in editing time. And I want to go on the level here with you that I have spoken personally to a lot of the people that I'm working with from your team. They so appreciate the jobs that we are giving them. They so appreciate and are so enthusiastic about the work that they're getting and the responsibilities that they're taking as part of our team. Not that I'm saying anything about the millennials that we deal with here in the U.S. of A., but I got to tell you, it is a refreshing sound to my ears, the word thank you. When I'm done with an email or I'm done with a conversation, I really enjoy my morning Skype conversations with Manila. And the guys that work there, the ladies that work there, they are so appreciative and so on top of the work that we're giving them. It has really been game-changing for me and for my team.
You know, Filipinos are great people. I got into this business because my COO at Zookbinders, and her name is Cherry Orlina, is Filipino, born and raised. And even though she's lived in the U.S. longer than she's lived in the Philippines, she is 100% Filipino. And they are a humble, respectful, hardworking, appreciative. And they especially like doing work for U.S. companies. In fact, if you're a lot of times we'll hire somebody for a customer service or a telemarketing position, and they came from working for a local company in the Philippines. And it's a step up, and it's bragging rights among their peer group. I'm supporting an entrepreneur in New York City. I'm supporting an entrepreneur in San Francisco. And it's kind of cool. It's really bringing the world closer together. It's like having a pen pal from when we were little kids, and they encourage us to write and find somebody overseas. But these are people that you're working on as business partners on a daily basis.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to my buddy Rodney Regala out in San Diego, somebody who you and I have both known for a very, very long time. Rodney is one of my best and dearest friends back to the Monty Zucker days in the late 80s and early 90s. And he is Filipino. And I always say that I am his son's godfather, that when I go to visit in San Diego, I pick up 50 or 60 extra cousins as soon as I cross into San Diego. So to all of my Regala and Filipino cousins in Southern Cali, this is a big shout out. They really enjoy the fact that I am now supporting Manila, supporting the Philippines. And as far as hardworking, there is no harder. And I just, it's really been an amazing thing for me and for my company. And so to those of you that are on the fence that think that you're taking American jobs away and things of that nature, honestly, what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to be able to continue to employ Americans because you are outsourcing the stuff that you really can't afford to pay $25 or $35 an hour for here in the States. And you're getting four times more done for the same amount of money offshore. And what Mark and his team has done is they've really connected the dots and made this an almost seamless turnkey operation. I'll go one step further for the photographers that are listening. Most of you know that I mention Zookbinders on a regular basis on this program. And Mark, one of the things that he has done over the years is that he's stayed technologically ahead of the game. And their computerized system, their expedition of getting albums out to clients, their ability to know exactly where an album is in production at any phone call is a lot to do with the fact that they've stayed technologically ahead of the curve. And from what you've told me, Mark, part of how MCVO became a company is because you couldn't afford to keep that level of talent going in the U.S. And in order to keep Zookbinders being a number one company, you had to come up with this other circumstance.
So we had, Zookbinders has been around, this is our 26th year. And for the first 15 years, we had great growth. The industry was very healthy. There were three photographers in every major suburb. They all did well. All the vendors did well. It was a healthy ecosystem. And then about 10, 12 years ago, things changed. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, which we're all aware of, but it was basically technology disrupted it. And then suddenly for an album company like us, there was over a period of a few years, 50% of the volume that we were used to seeing. So we looked around and said, we really have a couple of options. We can either close down in a year or two, or we can pivot and think about ways on how we can reduce costs by shifting jobs overseas. And we started doing this in 2010. We had at the time an office staff of 25. And over the next 4 to 5 years, we moved 20 of them overseas. And yes, there were a few people in the States that lost their jobs, but if we didn't do that, we probably would have shut the company down 6-7 years ago because we would not have been profitable. So we look at it as it saved the remaining office jobs, and it saved our production staff and all the vendors and all the photographers that we support. It was unfortunate, but the economics of our industry dictated that we really didn't have much choice. It's really not much different than certain manufacturers that now their entire supply chain is overseas, whether it's China or Vietnam or some other country where the costs are lower. If you don't do that, the market is not willing to pay twice as much for your product, whether it's a vacuum cleaner or a bicycle.
Well, let's kind of go back to the reality that most of us in the event industry, it doesn't matter if you're a caterer or a photographer, most of us in the event industry are puttering along at 10 to